are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody, and returning with me today is a staple of the show, regular guest friend, does excellent work in so many different areas. He is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
I'm with you, Andy. Hello. Good to be able to be with you and chat on these topics that nobody else seems to want to touch, or very few. So I'm with you.
I agree. And folks, we're going to focus. Well, we're going to see where the show takes us. We're going to get into the gang stalking again. That's a major issue on Eric's radar. But what we're going to do is, as a springboard into the show, I've got a little clip that I've only ever heard about a few days ago. It's about 3 minutes long. It's called If I Were the Devil, and it's by a guy who'll be very familiar to American audiences, a broadcaster called Paul Harvey, who, again, I wasn't familiar with, but Eric got me up to speed, before we started recording this show. This is from 1965. As I say, it's called If I Were the Devil, and it's 3 minutes and 22 seconds. And bear in mind, this is 53 years ago. Have a listen to what this guy says. I'm going to mute both Eric and myself. And here we go with If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
There you go, folks. I thought that that was fascinating. So it was a little bit fuzzy, but that's apparently the best clip out there that's been restored. Bear in mind it is 53 years old. Eric, what are your comments on that? It's probably a bit difficult to know where to start with it, isn't it?
Well, I think Paul Harvey proved himself to be quite a prophet there. You know, he, as I said off before we started, Paul Harvey, I think, is, you know, indelibly, his voice is indelibly imprinted in many, many Americans' minds, especially Americans of certain ages, because he would come on with his show, I think, about noon every day for decades. And, yeah, I'd tell the rest of the story, as he put it. And, yeah, he always signed off the date. Yeah, I mean, everything he said is, you know, absolutely right on and prophetic. 1965 really was before the craziness of the 60s really wound up in 68, 69. I was there. I was in high school. I graduated in 67 and then college. So, yeah, everything he said is right on. And I think it gives us a pretext, or not a pretext, but a launch pad for our discussion today, because, you know, we are dealing, I think, with powers and principalities that use human beings as their minions. And, you know, certain minions, I guess, sign up and say, yeah, this sounds pretty good. I'm going to get something out of this. And they don't seem to have the long view that, you know, that in the end, the devil's going to take you to hell. But yeah, this is the story. This is the battle. This is the whole story, really, what's going on the planet, I think. The spiritual warfare. Devil's very clever. The devil's very clever. And you know, I'd like to talk a little bit today about some of his other tricks, mainly mind control, and what we sometimes refer to as gang stalking. We're finishing our we're not finishing. We're kind of in the middle of a series on the phony war on terrorism, and today I was hoping we could, you know, kind of extend this as a terrorism as a pretext for war against the domestic population, as a pretext for war against dissent, because that's what has happened. I mean, we talked at last couple shows about how the war on terrorism is manufactured. It's concocted out of whole cloth by the FBI and the CIA and by states in order to justify going after the terrorists wherever they be, and that's the enemy of the state. And it could be a nation. We've declared Russia now as a terrorist state, you know, diplomatically. Well, it's because they're not doing what we want, you know. And one man's terrorist, of course, is another man's freedom fighter. So whereas I and many, many others, perhaps millions in America, have been put on the phony terrorism watch list by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, et cetera, and are actually being gang stalked by large segments of the population, we're actually freedom fighters. They're calling us terrorists because that's a good slur, and they're able to fool the other, you know, the other large segments of the population into harassing us, and, you know, discrediting us and defaming us, and actually doing kind of slow kill, silent kill, soft kill operations on us. So yeah, this is very, very dark. My new acronym, I got a new acronym for this, is, let's see if you like this, it's Gestapo 666. It's got six S's, six T's, and six P's. Or you could write it out, G-I-S to the sixth power, T to the sixth power 8, P to the sixth power O, with sixes as superscripts. But it stands for Global Intelligence Syndicate, because it's the mob and the CIA have been working together since the CIA was formed in 1947. So it is an intelligence syndicate operation, as most of the world is now. Global Intelligence Syndicate, satanic, space-based, security, surveillance, stalking, tracking, targeting, torture, terrorism, termination, transhumanism, and Pentagon policing for profit, psycho-political, psychotronic, psychological operations. And I know that's, you know, unwieldy and long, but The Gestapo 666, I think, works pretty good. It's pretty short. It does get the satanic idea in there. And it now is, in my mind anyway, replacing my last favorite acronym, which was GOG's new Gestapo, which is Global Organized Gang Stalking Neuro Warfare Groups Electronic Surveillance Slavery Torture Terrorism Trauma Blah 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 and Psychological Operations. So I you know, they're both saying more or less the same thing. This says a few more other things in it, like transhumanism and space-based, and gets satanic right in there. But it's the same concept. But this is a huge global system that the global police state has covertly rolled out and, you know, is officially denying. And targets all over the world are complaining of, you know, terrible atrocities, including being hit with electromagnetic wavelengths, radiation frequencies, etc., tortured in that manner, as well as street theater and the typical gang stalking protocols that have been in operation, well, gosh, you know, for over a century. This is very real. It's a civil war. It reminds me of a quote by one of the great robber barons of the 19th century named Jay Gould, and that name sounds vaguely Jewish. He said, "I can pay one half of the working class to kill the other half." Well, I mean, it's true, and this is what's happening. And of course, somebody like Jay Gould would actually want to do that because they want to take down society. They want to keep people poor. They want to, John 8:44, we just talked about it. Ye are of your father, the devil, and his lusts ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies. This is the reality we live in. We don't live in the United States of America. We live in the United States of Israel, or the United States of Israel now. And we're not in control. Foreign fifth column groups are in control of the United States, and they're in control of the money system and the press and et cetera, et cetera. So I'll stop rambling on, Andy, if you'd like to interject here.
Oh, I found that fascinating, Eric. And folks, we're recording. Eric mentioned John 8:44 on Saturday this week. There's show number 844 that I'm putting out, and I'll leave it for you to surmise what we will be talking about on that show. But you raised a point about Russia, which I found interesting, because I know that you, like myself, listen to True News, Rick Wiles's media outlet. And I don't know if you heard his show yesterday, but he was talking about, I'll read a news article as to what he was outlining, because it's quite interesting. This is regarding Russia, and the headline, this is from theblaze.com, it's the first link I found for it. Russia says it is preparing for war following US withdrawal from missile treaty, and this is an October 28th, 2018 piece. A top Russian official has declared that the country is preparing for war following President Donald Trump's announcement that the US would be withdrawing from a Cold War era disarmament treaty. According to the UK's Sunday Express, the first committee of the UN General Assembly voted Friday against Russia's proposal to save the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, that's the INF, between its country and the US, following President Trump's announcement that the US would be unilaterally withdrawing from the 1987 agreement. In response, Deputy Head of the Department of Non-Proliferation and Arms Control at the Russian Foreign Ministry, Andrei Belousov, told the UN here recently at the meeting, the United States said that Russia is preparing for war. Yes, Russia is preparing for war. I have confirmed it. We are preparing to defend our homeland, our territorial integrity, our principles, our values, our people. We are preparing for such a war, he reiterated. Belousov explained, linguistically, this difference is in just one word, both in Russian and in English. Russia is preparing for war, and the US is preparing a war. What do you think of that, Eric?
Well, yeah, these are very troubling times. The United States and Israel have been pushing. Russia and China and certainly Iran and all of the Middle Eastern countries to of course our America's foreign policy is Israel first, and we put our billions and trillions of dollars and the lives of our sons and daughters on the line to advance the cause of Israel, which is, establishing a greater Israel in the Middle East so that can be the launch pad of their universal Jewish empire, which is total control of the world. And this is all very, 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 very well documented on my websites and many others in your book. My websites are gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, 911nwo.com, naturalclimatechange.com, San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, and then my music site is ericcarlstrom.com. So, we have had the American Empire, since 1940, at least. This was a decision based, on the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the American extension of the British Roundtable groups. I was just kind of transcribing an interview by a guy who's former Canadian defense minister in the 60s, and he was giving this history that in 1940, the Council on Foreign Relations said, looks like Hitler's not going to win. Hitler was our boy, actually. We created Hitler to develop, to have his thousand-year Reich, his fascist empire. And so Hitler's not going to win, so we're going to get to be the empire. America's going to be the emperor now. And we're going to do it through economic sabotage. We're going to do it through military might. We're going to do it through mind control. And the CIA, of course, took the Nazi researchers after World War II, 5,000 at least, who are mind control people who were actually doing these hideous, heinous experiments in the concentration camps, like Joseph Mengele, the Auschwitz Angel of Death, and brought them over to America. And they continued these mind control programs under the top secret CIA programs, MK Ultra, et cetera. But getting back to the Russia thing, that the whole Cold War, which was staged, I think, after World War II, was real in the sense we did have this incredible, buildup of nuclear armaments, and Russia had their empire, Soviet Union had their empire, we had our empire, and this decades long institution put us in a war footing. And so the United States has been on a war economy since before World War II, and it's the military-industrial complex that now runs it, and the military-intelligence-industrial complex that now runs the United States and the world. And the CIA more or less commands that because they've infiltrated all aspects of these things. And, of course, the CIA takes its cues from the Council on Foreign Relations, So they are the executive arm of this group, of this think tank, which it really runs America. It tells America what's going to happen. So our presidents, according to this former defense minister, have really been out of the loop ever since Harry Truman. They don't even have the secret clearance to know the top secrets, It's the intelligence military people who've been running things. Okay, well, back to the question about the Soviet Union. Is it really a threat now? Well, I think it is, because they've got these nuclear weapons, the American dollar is in grave danger now, because people like Maduro in Venezuela and Saddam Hussein, when he was in power, have abandoned the petrodollar as their currency. And of course, what has given the American empire its edge since 1973 is that all oil trades, all fossil fuel trades are done, in the dollar, which allows the American banking system, the Federal Reserve and Wall Street, to kind of rake off an enormous profit right there, as I understand it. But it's the City of London, New York, banking interests and associated transnational corporations, which have, really got the power. And so the question is there really is this saber rattling, or is this a real threat? And I believe that we're in a very, very dangerous time right now. You know, Venezuela has the most oil in the world, most proven reserves, and they are considered a failed state. And, well, Russia and China just waiting. And so is Brazil. And so is America. And who caused the failed state in Venezuela? Well, you can bet it was the CIA and their, you know, economic sabotage, destabilization programs. The U.S. has 800 military bases all around the world in 134 countries. This is the American empire. This is the twilight of the American empire, as far as I can see, because it's unraveling. And then how desperate are our leaders going to be to maintain the petrodollar? That's the question, because China, Iran, and Russia are all on the heartland, which is Eurasia. And Eurasia's got two-thirds of the world's population and two-thirds of the world's resources. If they team up, as they are now teaming up, how can the island nations, this is Mackinder type of, Alfred Mackinder type strategy, geopolitics, of Britain and the United States, how can they maintain their power? Their power has been based on ruling the sea. Well, when we got oil pipelines across Eurasia, who needs the sea anymore, you know? So things are changing, and I think the American empire is apparently quite desperate to maintain its economic hegemony, and certainly it's got its military hegemony. I don't believe the Russians are the good guys. I don't believe Putin is a saint. He was head of the KGB. It seems to me that if Russia, China, and Iran decide that to form an alliance, and you know, with other nations such as Brazil against the United States and its allies, its NATO allies, which are dropping out here and there, like Turkey and Saudi Arabia is now a question. We're looking at some very, very unstable times. The CIA, has maintained its power projected around the world since the 50s, and with their counterinsurgency doctrine and all this stuff in their wars of aggression and occupation. But most Americans don't even know this. Most Americans are I think people are better educated in other countries, because they could see what the American empire has done, the number of lives killed. I think we're in a very dangerous time, Andy. I think prayers are called for. prayers to spare the world the unthinkable, which is, a nuclear holocaust.
Well, it's interesting that you finish your point, on nuclear holocaust, because another recent RT.com Russia Today piece, this is about just under a week, towards the end of October. In order to curb the aggression from the West, Moscow shouldn't compete with Washington in number of nukes, military expert Konstantin Sivkov said, or rather wrote in a new article. The president of the Academy of Geopolitical Problems believes that an asymmetrical response would work much better for Russia, as it is able to produce nuclear weapons with a yield of more than 100 megatons. If areas with critically dangerous geophysical conditions in the US, like the Yellowstone supervolcano or the San Andreas Fault, are targeted by those warheads, such an attack guarantees the destruction of the US as a state and the entire transnational elite. And that's a very interesting closing term, the entire transnational elite. He's basically talking about the Zionist money power, isn't he, Eric?
Yeah, it has to be. Speaking of Russians, there's a Russian general, I think his name is Petrov, and I kind of went through some of his YouTube speeches. Sometimes old generals tell it like it is. We talked about Smedley Butler last time, where Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. And he said basically, he said a lot of things that, I think are true, and some that I would disagree with. He had certainly kind of a Russian communist, almost, well, certainly atheistic perspective. But he said basically there's a third power in the world, comprised of about 6,000 super rich elite of about 350 families. And he started naming the names. And, you know, familiar names like Rothschild and Rockefeller and, you know, Warburg and Kuhn and Loeb and just a lot of very Jewish sounding names, you know. And he says they're the fifth power. They own half the wealth in the world. And, you know, so you got at that time 6 billion people versus 6,000 people, you know, a ratio of 1,000,000 to 1. And this is the real underlying story, I think, is that you have this relatively small elite, which indeed, you know, I've called them Judeo-Masonic Satanists, that run things from behind the scenes, and they have all kinds of tricks. You know, going back to our Paul Harvey speech about the devil, and mind control is certainly one of the biggest ones. And they've been working on this, you know, since the 30s. And most people have no idea what's involved with this. Well, we know about propaganda. You know, we know about, you know, how you condition soldiers, you know, to kill on command, you know, and maybe bring them up watching video games so that they, you know, become more kind of psychologically numb, so they're more ready to pull that trigger. And there's all these little manipulation things that way. But the really hardcore trauma-based mind control, which is Illuminati oriented and involves satanic ritual abuse, most people have no idea what that is. And yet that's what the CIA and the Nazis were perfecting to make these supermen, Übermensch in Hitler's term. He thought that's what World War II was all about, creating this super race, the satanic super race. So this is, I think, the reality that maybe we need to bring up once in a while. Russ Dizdar, who's written the book called, he's a Christian pastor who's been confronting these realities since 1979 and working, as he says, boots on the ground to confront these satanic cults, etc., and individuals who've been programmed, mind control programmed, to be satanic super soldiers, to be mind controlled slaves, to be bio robots, programmed, fragmented in their personality due to the trauma that was inflicted upon them as a ritual trauma when they're children. And he estimates now there's 10 million of these super soldiers in the United States, which he calls sleepers, which can be commanded to do pretty much anything on triggered, and then 100 million in the world. Well, these people then can be deployed as a secret army, say in gang stalking, or say in anything else that their controllers, their handlers, want them to be controlled in. And really what's happening is the Antichrist kingdom has been assembled, is being assembled, you know, deliberately by this, you know, 6,000 or whatever in their control over governments to actually, the Satan hopes he's going to win the war when Jesus comes back. And he has every intention of, you know, maximizing his chances with creation of these super soldiers. And then, you know, you can go on into the clones and other things, the transhumanist beasts that are being experimented with and produced now. So there's some realities here that were way, way beyond even nuclear war in their implications. I mean, nuclear war is, you know, could wipe out a third or a half of humanity, you know, in a weekend. But this stuff here has long-term consequences for the species as well, because, you know, if you're going to make bio-robots or clones, you know, slaves, a slave class, and then you're going to enhance the ruling elite, the 6,000 or their buddies or the chosen 1 billion or whatever, so that they live forever as gods, just like the serpent offered the deal to Adam and Eve, then you've now taken over the planet for Satan. And so Satan has his minions. They've been working hard, and they're, I think, bringing forth a satanic plan. And it involves these satanic super soldiers that Russ Dizdar is talking about. and you know, we can move in that direction. But the point that I would like to make as a targeted individual, somebody who has spoken up repeatedly over my life and who is now targeted by this system, which I'm calling Gestapo 666, I see it. I see it in the street. I see people that are gray. The faces are gray. They don't even look human. You know, we're dealing with, I think we're dealing now with various kinds of creatures that look human, which are not, that are mind controlled robots or worse. So, you know, I know this sounds, you know, far fetched to those who haven't studied this or experienced it, but I've studied it and experienced it. So I think it's you know, something we need to try to get out in the open. I mean, this is the secret weapon. Nuclear weapons, mind control is as powerful as nuclear weapons. Because, you know, with these frequencies of energy, you know, through HARP and other things like that, extremely low frequencies can change moods, can change ideas, can implant thoughts, voice to skull. We talked about Manchurian channeling several shows ago. You know, these voice of God commands can come, and they were used in the first Gulf War in 1991. U.S. Army used these things and told the, you know, Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard, you know, this is Allah, get down on your knees, disassemble your weapons, and surrender. And they did, you know, en masse. This group of soldiers got this voice in their head telling them to disassemble their weapons and surrender, and they did. And what did? And there was nobody there to surrender to. But then, of course, the good old U.S. military just, you know, mowed them down, just, you know, slaughtered them from helicopters and things like that, and then dug these big mass graves for them. I mean, if you start to look at what the U.S. military and the U.S. intelligence has done over the last 70 years to the world and to the United States, I mean, it's off the chart. It's these are fiends. This is heinous. These people should be hung. You know, you get me going on this, I can go for weeks. You know, using books, getting information from books like L. Fletcher Prouty, Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison officer between the CIA and the U.S. military from 1955 to 1963, I think. A critical time under the Eisenhower administration and the Kennedy administration. And he wrote a book called The CIA and Its Allies in Control of the United States and the World, 1973. And then we bring it up to 2017, and Douglas Valentine, who is my generation and watched the horrors of the Vietnam War and who kept studying that, wrote a book about the Phoenix program, which was the CIA program in the late 60s that, you know, killed between 25,000 and 50,000 Vietnamese civilians who were, they said, supporting the Viet Cong infrastructure. Well, this is a program to target dissidents and people of influence in the civilian community. Well, that's been moved right over to the United States now and the rest of the world. In this Gestapo 666, which is the Department of Homeland Security, does exactly what these local interrogation centers in Vietnam, state and local interrogation centers, which in fact were torture centers, did during the Vietnam War. So, you know, again, if you study the past, the present becomes quite understandable. And so Valentine's most recent book is called The CIA as Organized Crime, How Covert Operations Corrupt America and the World. And it's a read, it's a very painful read. It's very, very full of information and numbing information, but it's essential information. I would suggest everybody read that so they can get a reality check and check into the world that we live in. Here's what he says in his book. He says, over the course of its 70-year reign of terror, the CIA has overthrown countless governments, started innumerable wars, costing millions of innocent lives, estimates are between 6 and 30 million, and otherwise subverted and sabotaged friends and foes alike, despite all this murder and mayhem It has only lost around 100 officers. CIA officers are at the pinnacle of the Brotherhood. Blessed with fake identities and bodyguards, they fly around in private planes, live in villas, and kill with state-of-the-art technology. They tell Army generals what to do. They direct congressional committees. They assassinate heads of state and innocent children equally, with impunity, with indifference. And then he goes on to talk about the present situation in Afghanistan since 9/11. In Afghanistan, CIA officers manage the drug trade from their hammocks in the shade. And they've managed the drug trade since they started in 1947 with their teaming up with the mafia. Opium production has soared since they purchased the government in 2001. They watch in amusement as addiction rates soar among young people whose parents have been killed and whose minds have been damaged by 15 years of U.S. aggression. They don't care that the drugs reach America's inner cities. Of course, that's the number one heroin source in the world now is Afghanistan. So that's a huge industry and a lot of money the CIA wants to be able to control. The CIA plays the same role in Afghanistan that the Gestapo and SS Einsatzgruppen performed in France in World War II, terrorizing the urban resistance and partisan bands in the countryside by targeting their friends and families. This is what they're doing in the United States now. The CIA's objective is to rip apart the poor and working class families, and in the process, unravel the fabric of Afghan society, as happening in the United States, until the Afghan people accept American domination. It's that simple. They don't care how long it takes either. Afghanistan is a means to get at Russia, similar to how Nixon played the China card in Vietnam. The Afghan people hate the Americans more and more year after year, and that makes the CIA happy, insofar as it spells protracted war and increased profits for its sponsors in the arms industry. Afghan anger means more resistance, and more resistance provides a neat pretext for the eternal military occupation of a disposable nation strategically located near Russia and China. The Taliban will never surrender, and for the CIA, that means victory in Afghanistan. But it also means spiritual defeat for America, as it descends ever further into the black hole of self-deception, militarism, and covert operations. Well, I mean, I single out that little passage because it really describes what's going on around the world, including, you know, in the United States itself. We have this system which is a renegade. You know, it's the covert operations, war, military-industrial complex system, special forces. Who carried out the Oklahoma City bombings of 1993? It was special forces of the Army. Who killed the Branch Davidians at Waco, you know, several years later? It was special forces of the Army. These are covert operations. And then, of course, the press plays along and we're all confused about who did it. Well, the Waco thing with David Koresh is a little more interesting even because that was a CIA mind control operation gone bad. Just like the People's Temple with Jim Jones was a CIA mind control operation gone bad. So Americans don't know the first thing about how the world works. We're living in this fantasy land. You know, we're the good guys, Russia's the bad guys. That was the Cold War narrative. it's so far from the truth, as you know, that mainstream media now is telling all these narratives, which translates, you know, to lies. So I guess we'll keep trying to set the record straight. And of course, by doing that, we set ourselves up as targets because they don't want this known because the propaganda system requires an ignorant public, to keep shelling out the money to support all these, military industrial projects and the conquest of the world. I don't want the world. I want America to be America. I would like England to be England. I would like Venezuela to have the opportunity to operate, you know, its own resources for its own benefit. I guess that's the difference between myself and yourself and the planners in the military and government in Washington, D.C. since 1940.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And one thing that I'd like to throw in as well, we talked about this before the show. I was listening to John Kaminsky on the Graham Hart Show, again, late October. And he made the point that they've actually got all these millennials that they've basically trained and brainwashed with all this political correct garbage that are going to run around doing their bidding. And I kind of linked that to gang stalking, and I thought they've now got a whole generation of people that, you know, are there to attack the likes of you and I, because we're regarded as extreme in our beliefs, and we're racist, and we don't want open borders, and all these different things. And they've been taught that that frame of logic is completely evil, and therefore they not only are gang stalkers, you know, they don't have to be paid gang stalkers anymore. They believe that they're doing it from a moral standpoint, Eric. But let's pick up your comment on that. If you've got a quick comment, we've only got 15 minutes left, and we want to play Gospel Medley from Gospel Refrain as well. So do you want to make a quick comment?
That is an excellent observation, yeah. I think, you know, that we've had these alternative currencies like Bitcoin. I've heard that a lot of these operations are paid for in Bitcoin. And the kind of the boots on the ground, you know, would be the surveillance role players and the trackers and the spotters, who I see on a daily basis, by the way. These people exist. And so there's a large portion of the civilian workforce that is actually engaged in these stalking operations. And I think they're in a chain of command. Which is to say they've got their cell phones and their cell phone apps, and they're getting a message. I actually have to tell you the story. I actually walked into a truck stop, a convenience store, gas station, was going into the bathroom, and there was a very small man standing in the middle. He had his big cell phone that he was staring at, and there was a lady's recorded voice coming out of the cell phone telling him to proceed to, and then he quickly scurried out. But it was, you know, I mean, like he's being ordered to just like he's in a military operation, to go stand here and say this, or, you know, walk in front of somebody or do whatever. This is how complete this surveillance stalking system is now. They're tracking all TIs and probably many more even, and they have the ability to harass them. You know, and these are coordinated with military hardware like the C4ISR, the system, which is a command, stands for command control, communications, cyber warfare or computers, and then intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance. This is the big thing in the military. They've all got their versions of this, all branches of the military. And then it's been farmed out to the, you know, civilian sector as well. So now, you know, your commander can be commanding operations with these systems that are connected with the geographic information grid based on satellite information. They can track anybody anywhere. And then the commander, the mobile commander with his computer screen, can figure out where all the different nodes are, and those are the gang stalkers, and he can direct them to do a battle swarm around the target at any time in real time. And then they can also, this is hard to believe, but they're actually got their supercomputers sending electromagnetic frequencies to the brain of the target. And this is going, these are going back and forth. And then the relay is the cell towers and the satellites and the mobile platforms to get these frequencies synced up. And so they're actually, you know, injecting thoughts and sounds, voice to skull, things like that, to the targets, and to an extent mapping the brain of the target by doing these, you know, little photon emission photographs, EEG things, to show which areas of the brain are lit up. And then they digitize all this on their supercomputers. And the idea is to map the brain of this poor victim, you know, and I say it because this is, I think, what's happening to me. I think they want to download capture the will, intellect, and emotions of the target so that this can be digitally replicated in a copycat version on a computer, and that can be used in many different ways. Maybe this will go into Bill Gates in one of, you know, or Bill Gates's kids or something. You know, maybe they can take everything I know plus everything, you know, that Bobby Fischer and 100,000 other people have been mapped. We can just play with all that and put it on a chip and then give it to some rich, somebody in the ruling class. this is really nasty stuff, and it's we're toying with people's freedom of thought is the number one rule of the universe. It's absolutely required that we have free will, and this is what they're trying to take. So we've gone down the road of the satanic path, and Satan seems to be in control. Your comment about the millennials, I think a lot of money is exchanging hands. I think they are highly duped, because they really don't understand the bigger dimensions of the picture. They themselves are expendable. They can be throwaway. They can be stalked. And I've got some posts on my Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults website where we get articles from some of these gang stalkers who kind of fessed up. And we're starting to get an idea of what these perpetrators are about and what motivates them. And it is a syndicate. It's a criminal syndicate that they've aligned themselves with. But then it's a criminal syndicate that the CIA and the military have aligned themselves with. It's the Jewish mafia. If you want to know what it is, it's the Jewish mafia that runs these organizations, ultimately.
Thank you very much, Eric. And what we'll do now quickly, folks, is we're going to play Gospel Medley, which is from Eric's Gospel Refrain album that, as you know, I've been enjoying listening to. So I'm going to mute us both. Here we go, folks, with Gospel Medley.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, 'twas grace my fear relieved. How precious that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Brother,
if you want to go home,
oh,
listen to me, brother. If you want to go, for some days coming back again, you know. And if that wrong ain't right, it you'll be lost in sin. Get in line, brother, he will take you in. What did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home.
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
Swing
low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
was fun, folks. Eric, just let the audience know what website to go to get that CD.
Yeah, well, this CD is not yet loaded on my my music website, which is ericcarlstrom.com. But if you go to that website, you can find my address and contact me, and I can send one out to you. That's my sister singing. That's Karen Fricke, and she and I did the singing on that. And she's just one of those people that was born with a beautiful voice, you know. So it's been a pleasure to sing songs with her over the years. Yeah,
that was excellent. And we've only got, 4 minutes left. So the other thing I'll let the audience know, go to the post for the show and you'll get links to all of Eric's excellent websites there. I think there's 5 of them, isn't there, Eric?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, all on WordPress, yeah.
Yeah, and what would you like to, I know we've only got a limited time left, 4 minutes, but what would you like to dive into to close out the show?
Anything? Well, you know, kind of the sub-theme of this really has been, you know, mind control as terrorism. And I've written an article that's on my gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website and my 911NWO.com website called Mind Control History and Applications. It took me all of 2012 to write that article. I reviewed about 50 books on the subject, and there is a lot of information out about this. A lot of information came out in the 70s during a Senate investigation by Frank Church, in which these programs some of them were exposed, and there were documents that were recovered that proved that these programs existed. And so we know that they have been going on, and the military has been involved in creating monarch slaves, et cetera, for a long time. And then, and also on my website, I've got a copy of the Greenbaum speech given by Dr. Corey Hammond, a psychologist, in 1992 at a conference for psychologists. And he was the title of the speech was Hypnosis in MPD. Multiple personality disorder, ritual abuse, and he really was able to identify the German Kabbalistic Jew who developed a system for the internal programming of these mind control slaves based on the Kabbalah, and they were finding that the patients that were coming to them with these huge problems, that they had very, very similar memories. So many of them about, you know, what caused the fragmenting of their personalities. And as psychologists all over the country at this time were trying to figure out what in the world they were dealing with. And so this is corroborated not only with the documents of, you know, MK Ultra that were exposed at the Church Senate Committee hearings, but by the work of psychologists, by the work of the victims. And there are many now who've come forward and recovered their memories. The people, the psychologists that were doing this at top mainstream universities in America and elsewhere, these are fiends. These, you can't imagine how fiendish they are. And until you start studying what they have done to these children and others. And I would say that what's going on now with the Gestapo 666 is exactly the same thing, only on a much more vast scale. That there are university researchers involved with trying to map people's minds, torturing people with soft kill, silent kill, slow kill, electromagnetic frequencies, non-lethal weapons, as they call them. This is going on all over the world in a push. It's a $175 billion industry, the mapping the mind. And so corporations are involved. The military is very interested in this. The universities are involved. And they've got to have subjects, human subjects, for whom much is at stake. In other words, terminal experiments. They are killing people. They're causing slow death. They are torturing people. This is the most, I think this is the greatest crime in history. Of course, war is, you know, subsumes all crimes as well. But this, I think, is the greatest crime in history. And I think we need to expose it as quickly as possible and bring these people to justice and bring the victims some relief and hopefully some compensation, because these are non-consensual human experimentees, and they're often excellent people with a very distinguished careers, no criminal record whatsoever. These are the kind of people they're going after. The resistors of the New World Order in particular are being targeted, not only by the program, but by these satanic super soldiers who evidently are involved in the program. So I know this sounds far-fetched, but go to my website, educate yourself. This is reality. I promise.
Thank you so much, Eric. Excellent show as always. Eric will be back on again soon. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year on the Eurofolk Radio Network. If you'd like to support Andy's work, please go to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.